You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
Gentlemen, start your engines!
The following is a paid program. This program may contain adult themes and nudity, and you can never go wrong with that. Speaking of always being right, views expressed on this program are those of life-experienced mechanics. Continued listening may cause addiction and, in rare cases, a rash. Discretion is advised.
A mechanic tries to fix your car, no matter if you're near or far. He'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
Buckle up, everyone. It's time to get this show on the road. Time for Dave's Corner Garage, your Saturday morning joyride on Zoomer Radio. Got a car question for Dave or Alan? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free at 1-866-740-4740.
Yeehaw! See, I didn't have to get told to do that because I gotta know to do that because Dave's not here.
That's right. Dave's not here.
Dave's not here. But as a matter of fact, it's going to be a bit of a surprise later. Guess who's calling in?
Could it be Dave?
It actually is Dave. And that is the voice today of Brian Max, who's sitting beside me. Brian, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Alan. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, Brian is an automotive writer and an enthusiast, and you actually drive cars too.
Yeah, drive all sorts of things.
Not to the plaza and back. We're talking on the racetrack.
Yeah, on the racetrack. My passion is racing cars. I've been doing that for a long, long time. Absolutely love it.
Wow, that's great. And we didn't talk. You got any battle wounds to show?
You know what? I do, as a matter of fact. I've got a chipped tooth.
Okay.
And I keep that there as a reminder of not to race in a certain series.
A particular series. You're talking about, like, on the way to work.
Oh, that's also a good reminder.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a little scary.
All right, and we've got Jeff Coy on, not on the phone. Actually, he's been on the phone a few times, but actually in person. Thanks for coming down today, Jeff.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Jeff is from Lant Insurance. Lant Insurance is a specialty kind of insurance. So if you've got a classic car, if you've got, a really neat little car that you work on, but only drive it once in a while on nice days in the summer, you're going to want to give us a call because Jeff's got a product that will take care of your needs. And the price is right, too.
It is.
So, excellent. So, we will be right back after the break. If you've got a car care question, Brian and myself. Well, Brian's not a tech, but he knows an awful lot about cars anyways.
I know a lot about driving, a lot about new cars, of course, and tires as well.
Super. So, you got a car care question, give us a call. I've got 40-odd years of automotive experience. And that's it. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is Dave's Corner Garage. All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. My name is Alan Gelman. I'm from Glen Allen Motors up in Downsview, and Brian Max is here. Brian, you have a website that people can check out your stuff at?
Yeah, my main site right now is called VVUZZ.com.
Uh-huh.
And all of our great car stuff, there's stuff from our YouTube channel, any reviews, car stories, all sorts of things. And we tend to focus on performance and premium cars.
Premium cars, what? You mean the fancy, luxury, expensive ones?
The fancy, luxury, expensive ones that I like to drive.
Oh, like the like that one in your picture with you in the Superman cape.
Yeah, that Bentley Continental. That was a lovely car. I'm a big fan of Bentleys. There is nothing like a good Bentley.
Well, you know what? I'll have to take you up on it one day. Next time you get one as a loaner or a demo car, you got to come by. I'd love to go for a drive with it. The only thing I ever drive is Mama's soccer vans for the most part. It's got a noise in the back, and we can't seem to figure it out, and we're kind of wondering what it is. Anyways, if you drive a super nice car like a Bentley or, some car that you treated with kid gloves and, you only drive it on nice days in the summer, as I said earlier, we've got Jeff Coy here from Lant Insurance. So tell us what it's about.
It's about insuring classic cars. We've been doing this for 39 years at Lant Insurance.
Uh-huh.
And just what we specialize in, we offer a product that really addresses the needs of the collector car hobbyist who doesn't use their car every day, doesn't drive it as a daily driver.
I guess that's the key, isn't it? I mean, I only drive it maybe 10 times or a dozen times the whole year. Why should I pay full pop for insurance, right?
Right, right. And that's what our program is based on. The rates are kind of prorated, you know, knowing that you don't drive it 12 months a year, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And typically the rates are 45 to 50% less than regular car insurance rates.
Wow, almost half price.
Yeah.
Well, because, you know, you're going to figure you're driving it not even 6 months of the year, especially up here in Canada. But you have coverage for the entire year, correct?
Yeah, coverage is on entire year. As I said, it's kind of prorated, so you don't have to bother. You know, for example, on Wednesday, it was, 16 degrees out. You could take your collector out for a spin, give it a run around the block, so you don't have to worry about calling us and adding coverage back on.
Which I guess it was in the old days, that's what you had to do. I mean, unless you wanted to pay full pop all year, you know, you basically just had your liability insurance for the off-season,
right.
And then you had full coverage for the on-season. But you say you have to call the insurance company every time you wanted to put it back and
forth. Every time, yeah. And, you know, what happens there is people forget. And they think, oh, I already paid for that. And, you know, it's nice. And they're driving it and no insurance on it.
Any limitations to how much somebody can drive it? I mean, you know, there's some cars, that actually people, you know, are fun to drive. And they may want to drive it every day in the summer. Is there any limitation that way?
Sure. No, the limitation is that it's not used as your daily driver. You have another car that's your daily driver, and this is just your toy. So, yeah, if you're not working, and you might want to drive it every day because you're out visiting friends and getting a coffee.
Right.
You know, down, get some ice cream, a nice day. That's what it's all about, enjoying the car, but it's not your primary vehicle that you're using, you know, as your grocery getter.
So if you get an accident at 8 o'clock on the Don Valley Parkway, do you sort of scratch your head and go on, hang on, what kind of pleasure drive was that?
Yeah, especially we had one in December on the Don Valley Parkway.
Oh, there you go.
9 in the morning. So, you know, that's you're going to get a few questions as to, what's your daily driver for real?
And I guess then the other side of the coin, of course, is that, you're talking about car's value. And you can see a huge wide spectrum of a car's value. For example, you know, we talk about, let's say, a Camaro or a Mustang that they build gazillions of. And,
right.
You know, just because it's a 72 Mustang and it's got a stripe on it, you know, it may only be worth $10,000. But, you know, buddy's watching Barrett Jackson goes, I saw one of those for $500,000. Well, of course, it comes down to so many different things. You know, who owned it? How many were made? Is it a special edition? Things like that. How do you guys come up with a proper price or an amount, an evaluation?
Well, it's a discussion with the client, about their cars. You said they're all individual, what they have. So, we do have those people that call them after watching Barrett Jackson and say, they've got the same car, just went across the block for $150,000. But, my car's insured at $15,000. What's going on? So
right.
What we do is that as for we have resources that we can tap into to have all of the auction results across North America,
mm-hmm.
To give us an average market value. And that's where we start the conversation with the client.
Right.
We ask for pictures. We want to know the condition of the car. In some cases, we do ask for an appraisal.
Do you have your own appraisers in case someone doesn't have their own appraiser?
Yeah, we have a network of appraisers that we refer to. Yeah.
And these are guys who are experienced and they know what the cars are worth and they've looked into it and stuff like that.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Yeah. We screen all of our appraisers and before we get them on board as a referral so they know what they're doing.
All right. Well, super. You know, I've got somebody on the line, John in Etobicoke, and we're going to put him on hold because we've got a commercial break right now. And we'll talk to him right after the break. But he's got a car that maybe we can hook you guys up, eh?
Great. Sounds good.
All right. Super. This is Dave's Corner Garage. You got a car care question? You got an insurance question? Or if you want to know which Bentley is the hottest one on the road, you can give us a call. We've got all that information right here, right now. This is Dave's Corner Garage. All right, we're back. We've got an exciting show today. We've got Brian Max in here. Brian is an automotive writer and racer. And you write more or race more?
I unfortunately write more. I'd like to race more, though.
Well, you know what? As a writer, you get to imbibe or kind of... You could actually say, I was doing so hot on the track today, you know. You could be making this stuff up, eh?
I could, but I'm actually the only one, I think, in North America that doesn't make that stuff up.
All right, super. And we've got Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance. And just before the break, we're talking about classic cars, and that's what Jeff does. And we've got a caller named John who's calling in from Etobicoke who's got a neat car, I think. It's a 93 Miata. Is that right, John?
Yes, that's right. Good morning. How are you?
Excellent. Yourself?
Good, thank you. Yeah, I wanted a Lotus Elan that would start.
Oh, so you bought a Miata?
Yeah.
A little more reliable?
Well, a little bit, yeah. But it's a great car. Had it since brand new. It's got a whopping 48,000 kilometers on it. And it never winter driven. Actually, it's only been in the rain 8 times.
Well, traditionally, how have you insured it?
With traditional insurance, quite frankly, because I have other vehicles as well, and it's under the same policy. So, I mean, I do sort of just have comprehensive on when the car is not on the road, and then full road coverage with liability when basically from May till November.
Well, as Jeff was saying earlier, but a couple of weeks ago when it was like really nice out, didn't you have a hankering to maybe put it on the road?
No, too much salt. Are you kidding? No,
all right.
No, hey, but I'm not anal.
All right, Jeff, what can we do for him?
Oh, we can take a look at that for sure. It's low mileage, fits our plan as a classic collector. So it sounds
it's
like the
not
use
quite 25 years old yet, though.
That's okay. We started 15 years old looking
really?
At them. Yep.
Holy cow. So that's the new age of majority, is it?
That's it. That's it.
And John, what kind of money do you think your car is worth?
Yeah, I mean, to be generous, I mean, they're starting to appreciate a little more because people are really getting into the NAs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they are.
Because they're very close to what the new Miata is like. I mean, the new Miata is only like 200 pounds heavier than the original.
Right.
So I would say between 5 and 8,000 being generous.
And what do you think about that, Jeff?
That sounds
that's
that
pretty
sounds,
much what it's
yeah,
worth.
That's pretty much right on there. If you want to go to our website, you can get a quick quote in about 15 seconds, give you an idea of what the premium is going to be, and then you can give us a call and set it up.
So now this, I imagine this would also be liability coverage as well. Are we talking $2-3 million worth of liability, or
you can get up to $2 million?
Okay. And what's the deductible like?
The deductible would start at $500.
Oh, okay.
But you
cool.
have yeah, you have
it's
options.
Not like I've ever worked in insurance or anything.
Yeah, yeah. You've got options there.
Okay,
but
cool.
The quick quote will give you $500 deductible and $1 million liability.
Now, do I have to insure the car for roadability for the entire year, or can I just do comp for like 6 to 7 months?
No, our rates are based on insuring it for the year, and they're, like I said, they're 45% less than general insurance out there, so it's kind of prorated knowing that you're not driving it year-round.
Oh, I see. Okay, cool.
All right, so there you go. You're going to have full insurance for the entire year. And it's going to cost you half the price.
Yeah, landinsurance.ca.
Thank you very much.
All right, thanks for calling in with that, John. I hope he's out in the garage polishing it up, eh?
He probably is.
Yeah. Wax on, wax off.
That's right.
All right, perfect.
Karate Kid style.
And so it's about half. So I guess up until now, John, if he wanted to take it out during the year, he'd have to call the insurance company.
Right.
And that's traditionally what people do, I guess, eh?
Yeah, and he made a good point. Not a lot of people want to take it out because of the salt on the roads, but in a few weeks, a little bit more rain, that's gonna be washed away, and you're ready to go whenever you have a nice day or whenever you have the inkling, just take it out for a spin.
Now, there was some kind of rule in terms of age of car and what's considered a classic and what isn't. Actually, I had someone write me a couple of weeks ago and said that's not really a classic. I mean, but you know, these are kind of loose kind of rules. Now, a classic, like you say, is 15 years. Is that all there is to it?
Well, we start at the year, 15 years, and then we're looking at, a limited edition, limited production models, vehicles that have been kept, like he said, driven very rarely, 8 times in the rain, I think he mentioned, so that they're low mileage. They're used as a classic, as a collector. There's something that's special to that person that...
But there's certain cars that are really somebody's, cat's meow kind of thing. I remember we used to have a lady that had like an old Cadillac Brougham, and and it was this big tank of a car. I mean, age-wise, I guess it would have classified, but is that a classic car,
Well, it would depend on the situation, the individual, what they use it for.
And so that's basically what it comes down to, is whether this is a daily driver or it's not a daily driver.
Exactly, yeah.
And again, you don't... You trust people on that. I mean, you don't do mileage figures, take pictures of odometers, things like that?
Not generally, no. No, we would just, if there's questionable, usually you can tell from the pictures and the condition of the car.
Right.
But, there are some cars out there with higher mileage that would qualify because at one time they may start off as a daily driver, and now they're a classic.
Right. All right, super. Actually, when I come back from the break, we want to talk about the bad stuff. In other words, when something bad happens, how we deal with that. All righty?
Sure.
All right, super. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back in just a couple of moments. All right, we're back. And quickly, I want to talk about what happens to that classic car of yours if you do, you know, prang it and you got to take it to the panel beater. For those who don't understand what the heck I just said, you had an accident and it's got to go to the body shop. All right, what do they do?
Well, when you're putting a claim in, then you choose the shop. We don't have preferred shops or send you anywhere. You choose the shop. You usually go to, you know, the guy who's done work on your car or someone in your club maybe has referred you to these guys and know Miatas, what it might
be. Right.
You know, and they specialize in doing it, and they know how to fix these collector cars because you just can't take it to the average franchise out there.
No, exactly. Somebody who's only used to working on brand new cars is going to have no clue how to do it.
Right.
And you want it done right. So this way you go to your own shop. Excellent.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of guys with years of experience underneath their fingernails, we got Dave Redinger on the line. Dave, how are you?
I'm freezing down here.
Baloney. Tell me, how cold is it?
You know, they always say that, 73.
Mm. Oh, that's tough, Dave.
How are you surviving? Yeah. I'll never know.
I had to put on shorts, I'll be honest.
Well, it's mighty cold here, I'll tell you. It's like minus 10 with the wind chill.
I can't
believe it. And then I think this coming week it's going up to the plus 10 or something. It's a huge spread. Anyways, Dave, you know, you're down in Florida, and you got to think about things. And, you know, what have you been pondering?
A couple of things.
Mm-hmm?
Okay, a couple of things. First off, Jeff, you know, on his website, we're talking about the Lant Insurance.
Yes.
He has an events page that tells you what's coming up in the next month as far as cars are concerned.
Oh, so, like car shows and
Motorama,
things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Motorama's coming up on the 10th. And the auto auction, according to Jeff, is May 5th, 6th, and 7th.
That's right.
Of the month of May.
So this is classic car auction you're talking.
Yes.
Classic car auction. The cars down here are absolutely beautiful.
Okay.
There's no rust. They're just gorgeous cars.
Well, they're all pretty much new, aren't they?
Most of them are leased, yeah. And then you see the trucks going north to the northern states where they sell them off.
So the only classics you're seeing down in Florida are blue-haired ladies, not so much cars.
Well, when you got to go down to Miami, there's tons of good stuff. Anyways, we got an email the other day about, you know, self-driving cars.
Yes.
And the effect of self-driving cars on the American economy. Did you know there were 600,000 Uber drivers in the U.S.?
Right.
180,000 taxi drivers, 168,000 bus drivers, and 550,000 school bus drivers.
And how's that going to relate to autonomous vehicles?
They're going to end up losing their jobs at the end. They're saying over 5 million Americans, their jobs are at risk because of self-driving cars.
Well, I know they've been doing this in Europe already. They've got trucks that are going between city to city that are totally autonomous.
Well, some of those are manned yet. So, you know, the thing about autonomous cars, it's going to take a while for them to work through basically the economy for you know, either companies or individuals to buy them.
So what we're saying is that, you know, before the future happens, it could take another 10 or 15 years at least.
Exactly.
And 20 years.
20 years, okay.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Manufacturers are still fixated on this 2020 thing as their target for introducing autonomous vehicles, fully autonomous vehicles. I don't think they're going to meet it, but we'll see how that goes.
Well, besides the fact that the transition's not going to happen overnight either. I mean, you're still going to have classics and cars that people would, you know, with steering wheels in them. So, Dave, it's nice that you want to give all these people a heads up, but they'll almost be dead by the time this happens, I'm thinking, no?
Well, hopefully we'll still be around. But here's the reality.
Yeah?
Between their cars and robotic warehouses, the government's stepping up and saying they should tax robots just like humans.
How's that?
Well, if you have a robot running your warehouse, he has to pay taxes just like a human being. So the government is, in other words, saying, just because we lost the workers, why should we lose the income?
Mm, okay. And, well, in fact, a lot of them talking, you know, with this Trump situation here, how, you know, they want to move the jobs back to Canada, you know, or back to the United States. They're not necessarily going to employ more people because you have robots nowadays and technology that gets rid of that. I'm sure it takes way less people to build a car now than it used to in the old days.
It's interesting what a change we're going through in our society
when
you see this type of stuff going on. But I love the fact that the government's already figured it out. You know, if you have a self-driving car, you're probably going to pay four or five times to get it licensed because of the fact that it's a self-driving robot.
But so the robot. So but ultimately we get back down to who's responsible for the vehicle. I mean, you know, if you got that upper tiered car that has no controls in it, how can you make the driver responsible when there is no driver?
Yeah,
that's Jeff's problem.
That's going to change the auto insurance industry. It's really going to change.
Does it ever? Yeah, absolutely right. You're absolutely right. You know, there were almost 20 accidents already with self-driving cars getting hit in the back.
Well,
the reason being is they actually stop at stop signs.
Exactly. That.
Well, that's right. I mean, you know, you can't. Well, I guess you could program a car to do a California stop, couldn't you? You know, you just do a slow roll. Well,
of course you could, but yeah. I mean, you can't. You know, any self-driving vehicle producer is not going to start breaking the law. That's for sure. One interesting thing: Volvo has been on record saying that any of their fully autonomous cars, they're taking responsibility for if they're involved in a crash.
Wow, that's really nice of them. Well, you know, it's a good thing that they want to do that. I mean, they're going to have to ultimately. But, you know, the big thing for me is this interim kind of stage. You know, we're talking about it's going to be 20 years before all the cars are on the road or well, not even then, but they will finally get on the road. But they're still going to be driving cars now. And what for me is the lack of, you know, people have to be in tune with what they're driving and to know what the capabilities of their car or not. As it happens, the car that I drove down here today, it has, you know, active cruise control, for example. So it has radar sticking out the front and out the back, and it knows and will actually make the car do something. So in other words, if I fall asleep behind the wheel or I'm not paying attention, it'll apply the brakes if I get too close to the car in front of me. But there's other cars that don't do that, eh?
That's absolutely right. There's such a mix of cars on the road. There's such a mix of technology that you know, drivers really have to adapt, and you know, the distractions with phones and everything else is not helping the driving situation.
Don't get me started on telephones.
Yeah, sorry about that.
Can you imagine? Hot Rod magazine will come out with a stick that you put into your car, and you go, you know, increase the performance of your self-driving car.
Could be.
All right, Dave. Have yourself a great time. Don't forget the sunscreen.
Yes. I've been inside painting, hanging pictures, moving furniture and cutting grass. I'm really happy.
That's a holiday, eh?
That's a holiday, is right.
All right.
See you guys in a couple of weeks.
All right. Take care. Thanks for calling in. All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. We've got Brian Max here. We've got Jeff Coy from Lant Insurance. And we're going to take your calls right after this break. We're back. We're talking about autonomous cars. At least Dave was, and we've got Jeff from Lant Insurance here. And the insurance company's going to have to change considerably, aren't they, as this stuff comes out?
It's going to turn the auto insurance upside down, because you're going to be looking at who you're insuring. You're insuring the manufacturers instead of the drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Some cars may be autonomous and manual driving, if you want to say that. You know, where does that liability cut off? And it's really going to change the industry. And another thing it's going to do is there's going to be a lot less collisions and accidents.
Okay, now for people who don't know what we're talking about here, we're talking about V2V, in other words, vehicle-to-vehicle communication. In other words, cars will be sending signals out. This will be like on the internet, I guess, or radio signals. So they'll be able to talk to each other so they know who's on the road, how close they are, whether they're coming towards them, going away from them, and that's going to cut down accidents tremendously, isn't it?
It is. It is. So that's going to cut down everything. And, you know, as we see true auto insurance premiums today, it will lower them.
Well, exactly, because, you know, they're talking about, I think, 90% of the accidents should, in fact, in theory, not happen anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. So that, like I said, that's a huge change in the industry, and affects all the way down the chain and the insurance companies to the brokers. That you know, it'll
well, that'll be a good thing. But on the other side of the coin, Brian, I mean, you're involved in a lot of the social networking and stuff.
Oh, sure.
You know, people are concerned about their finding out too much about themselves, their privacy, and aren't those the people who are against this kind of thing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, privacy is another consideration, and I think it was a quaint notion in the 20th century, but there's really no such thing as privacy anymore. If you think there is, it's long been gone, and that sort of your driving data is definitely going to be shared with multiple parties, and some of it perhaps already is. You know, for example, with Tesla, they've had multiple instances of their customers blaming the car, and they've been saying no. Here's the data from the car.
Right.
You crashed it. The car was totally innocent in this mess. And later this year, Cadillac is coming out with their Super Cruise that's sort of similar to Tesla's
autopilot. Yeah.
And it'll have the same data sharing ability as Tesla. So your driving data is going to be shared, and not with just one party, not with the automaker, but with multiple parties for sure.
So there's nothing you can do. I mean, if you're going to buy this car, that's the way it's going to be.
Absolutely. Or you can buy a collector car, and one that doesn't have data sharing ability.
Well, exactly, and it won't know what's around them because there's not sharing anything.
That's so true.
But and it's a great way to spy on your teenager and find out exactly where they've been and what they've been up to.
Yeah, if my teenager drove, I'd be very interested. But he's a city kid and he's not terribly interested in driving.
But I guess at the end of the day, I mean, we should be happy that the collisions and personal injuries are going to be cut way down. I mean, how can that be bad?
Oh, that's a good thing.
Yeah, this is a good thing. I mean, a couple of years ago, I was rear-ended by a young woman who was on her phone. And, this is going to continue for a little while, but I'm looking forward to the time where cars can do most of that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it'll be a great thing. But, I mentioned before about the people not being aware of what their car can have. I mean, I was on holidays last winter, actually, with another couple, and my friend always drives a fun, fancy high-end model car, and we're driving a 10-year-old rental car down in the Caribbean because, the rental car, you want a deal on a car? It's not like they rust, okay? So sure enough, my buddy's backing up, and all of a sudden, bang, and I said, what happened? And he goes, well, the beeper didn't go off. well, this car doesn't have a beeper, It's got a rear-view mirror. All you have to do is look in the mirror. Or, God help you, turn your head around. Just look.
Imagine that.
Yeah, amazing concept, eh? All right, we're going to go back to the calls after the break, I guess, because I wasn't paying attention, and there goes the music, and, Sebastian is doing the best he can to keep this little car on the tracks, and he's doing a great job so far. Everybody, hooray! Nice job, Sebastian. This is Dave's Corner Garage. If you've got a car question, you're welcome to give us a call. But after the break, as a matter of fact, now that I look at the schedule and see what's going on, Darren Bossens is going to be here from Sale & Tire. So you've got a car care question. That was hard to say.
Car care question.
Thanks, Brian. Appreciate that.
My pleasure.
Well, that's because you're an automotive journalist. Can speak the
I don't
language.
Know about that.
This Queen's English. He's good at it, eh? All right. We're going to talk to Darren right about Sale & Tires right after this break.
Calling all hybrids and electrics. We want to hear from you, too. Because Dave's Corner Garage is an equal opportunity show. To reach Dave and Alan on Zoomer Radio, call 416-360-0740 or toll free at 1-866-740-4740 or pass on your regards and your question at davescornergarage.com.
S stands for safety. Sale & Winter tires have the safety standards of many national brand tires, but cost up to 50% less. So we figure M should represent money. A, the added peace of mind in Salen's 30-day risk-free trial. R, for being reliable. And T, for delivering traction when you need it most. Drive smart this season on Salen's Ice Blazer winter tires and take Salen with you through every turn. Find a dealer near you at salentires.ca.
What if we could live forever? Someday, maybe. For now, concentrate on helping your engine last longer. Prestone Concentrate Antifreeze Coolant is 5 times more effective at protecting against corrosion than the nearest branded competitor. Prestone with patented CorGuard inhibitors delivers longer life to the sophisticated car engines of today and tomorrow. Learn more at Prestone.com. For longer engine life, choose Prestone.
Are you ready? Winter is here. It's time to protect your vehicle from its worst enemy with Crown, Canada's number one rust protection.
Crown's expert technicians apply an advanced formula to every area of your vehicle, helping it to last longer, look better, and maintain a higher resale value. Visit crown.com for a special offer and for the dealer nearest you. Crown. Protect. Maintain. Save.
You're listening to Dave's Corner Garage, brought to you in part by Salen Tires. Value and performance you can trust. Test drive their 30-day risk-free warranty. Go to salentires.ca.
And here we go. We've got Darren Bossens on the line from Salen Tire. Darren, thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Alan. How are you doing today?
We're doing okay, and it's a little cold out there today, but the sun is shining. And just quickly, you know, it was so nice this week. I had a couple people call the shop or actually come by. They said, well, I'm going to come by for an oil change. Should I bring my tires with me to change? And you know, as much as I would have liked to say, yeah, well, sure, we'll pull the wheels off, check the brakes, do a whole service. I thought, you know what? No, in good conscience, I would have to say it's not quite ready yet. What should people use as a benchmark in terms of when to change the tires?
Well, definitely the 7 degrees Celsius. We don't want to get ahead of ourselves. I know it's been beautiful. I get that feeling myself. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels like almost spring. You can smell it out there, but we're definitely not done winter yet. So you want to stick with that 7 degrees Celsius benchmark. And I've looked at the forecast. It looks like most likely towards the end of March, early April, we'll start to see that trend. Mm-hmm. But April 15th is kind of a safe rule of thumb for using, you know, for your switchover, depending where you are in Canada.
Well, and at the same time, I mean, it's not like, you know, it's like that old joke about the snow tires, they melted. You know, it's not like even if it goes to plus 10 or even higher for a day or so, you're not going to have significant wear on that winter tire, are you?
No, it's not. That's not long enough to cause any real damage whatsoever. And I do understand now. Everybody knows it's usually you know, very busy at the dealers in spring and fall. So some people might want to get ahead of that curve, but mm-hmm. you got to be careful because we've gotten snow in early May before. So
did I ever tell you that time I went to court and I tried to convince the judge it was a snowstorm, except that the date on my ticket was for June? And
that's a tough one.
Yeah, he wasn't impressed. And as you're laughing, so was my best friend who was with me at the time. The entire courtroom was laughing, and I got the hammer, you know, hammer down on me, had to pay the full fine. But again, you know, we got Brian in the studio today, who's a car racer or certainly an enthusiast. But how you drive that tire, too, could determine how long it's going to last, eh?
Oh, that's for sure. Yeah, I think Darren can definitely talk about that. I mean, you know, for me, I don't drive a personal vehicle all that much. Mm-hmm. And I get lots of life out of them. One thing I'd love to get your thoughts on, Darren, is, you know, our friends in Quebec have that mandatory winter tire rule. What do you think about that in Ontario?
It's been discussed. And part of the problem would be is, as you know, Northern Ontario, the acceptance rate of winter tires is quite high, very similar to Quebec.
So in other words, everybody already uses them?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
It was in the 70-30 range when Quebec switched over. 70 to 80% of the people were already using winters.
Mm-hmm.
And if you recall that year, there was massive shortages with, you know, Quebec turning over 25 to 30% of the people onto winters once the law came in place.
Uh-huh.
Ontario, with the larger population and a lower average, there would be massive supply issues for sure for some time. In the GTA, I guess they don't feel the need to do it. But as you know, with the insurance companies giving a reduction in rate if you do run winter tires. So it looks like they're starting to lean towards that. In Quebec, they actually had a lot less accidents. The numbers plummeted once the law came into play. So they've got to be looking at that as well.
You know, I certainly hope so. I mean, every winter storm in the city, I see, you know, something that could have, some crash that could have been prevented by winter tires. And the best one I saw this winter was an SUV crashed into a telephone pole at the bottom of a hill, and the hatch was open. The hatch was full of their winter tires.
On their way. That'd be a great photo.
I was just about to get them done, eh?
Good intentions.
But it's funny. I mean, you know, we're not spring chickens here. How many older guys do you know are still convinced that if you know how to drive, okay, if you know how to drive, you really don't need them? That mentality is still out there, isn't it?
Definitely. And, you know, you could almost say it's partially true in the sense that if you really know how to drive, you're going to be able to drive to the conditions based on the car's performance, the tires, et cetera. Mm-hmm. It's everybody else you have to worry about, you know, that don't know how to drive or in some cases have winters and think they can drive like there is no snow on the ground, et cetera. So you end up, you know, you've got to be aware of everybody else. But anybody that has not run winters, that has tried winters, I've yet to know of anybody that's gone back to say, you know, I'm just going to run all seasons. It's just the confidence level. It's just so much more enjoyable driving.
That's
and
great.
The big thing, Darren, though, is stopping distance. And I think that's the, you know, if you've never driven winters, the stopping distance is dramatically shorter with a set of winters.
Exactly. And, you know, starting, it helps with starting too, but that's not so paramount. It's, you know, in some cases we have got to get out of the way, yes, lateral and, you know, move from one lane to another, but braking is the big one. And even if you are a good driver and, you know, something happens suddenly in front of you, which can happen regardless of how good you are, you're going to stop in that much shorter of a distance.
Exactly. No matter how good a driver you're on or what kind of technology your car's got in it, if you're not using your brain, it ain't going to stop. So there you go. Darren, you're going to be in the studio with us next week?
I'll be there.
All right, super. Have yourself a great week. Thanks for joining us today, and we'll see you next.
Thanks, gentlemen.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. We've got a little bit of time left. If you've got a car care question, we're going to talk to Al after the break. He's got a car that's been parked for a long time, almost as long as he's been waiting for us to answer that question, eh? Well, Al, if you're still there, we're going to get to your call right after this break.
Care to state your opinion about something you heard on the show? Contact Dave and Alan at davescornergarage.com or express yourself verbally.
I really don't care for the way you're speaking to me.
By calling the Dave line anytime at 905-567-5500.
Watching Glen Allen Motors perform warranty-approved service for an honest price is something to admire. But frankly, who has the time? So help yourself to one of Glen Allen's free loaner cars and get on with your day. They'll give you a jingle when your car's ready. Just promise to fill the tank with gas and try not to smash it up. Reserve a loaner in advance at glenallenmotors.com. Better service, better prices. Put your trust in Glen Allen Motors to fix it right the first time and never overcharge.
S stands for safety. Salen Winter Tires have the safety standards of many national brand tires, but cost up to 50% less. So we figure M should represent money. A, the added peace of mind in Salen's 30-day risk-free trial. R, for being reliable. And T, for delivering traction when you need it most. Drive smart this season on Salen's Ice Blazer Winter Tires and take Salen with you through every turn. Find a dealer near you at salentires.ca.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage. This hour has gone by quick, and Al's been hanging on the line, and I want to say thank you for, we appreciate you doing that. Al, you got a question about a vehicle that's been parked for a while, I understand.
Yes, I do. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've got a GMC truck that's been parked for approximately a year, and it's got a rust inhibitor on it, and that seems to be drawing the battery down flat, but the truck's been sitting basically for a year not being used,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to restart it, so okay. I just want to know... Should I be checking the brakes to make sure that they're cleaned up and the fuel's good and all that sort of thing before I fire the thing up?
Well, how handy are you yourself?
Not too bad.
Well, if it's only been parked for a year, I don't think it'll be too bad. In fact, Brian and I were talking about it off break about as he's an automotive enthusiast and a writer, his own cars don't get driven an awful lot. And periodically he said his wife's car was parked for a year and it fired right up. Certainly, yeah, in a year's time, you know, the gas may have gone funny a bit. Your battery is going to be low.
Batteries are flat, and I think it's the rust inhibitor which really draws the batteries down.
Well, you know what? Even without it, the battery would go flat anyways.
Chances are it would have gone flat over the year.
So, I mean, if you've got some kind of trickle charger or even if you we would suggest that you charge the battery up for a bit first rather than just boosting it and letting it go because... you know, the alternator on the car, for example, is not built to to charge a battery right from scratch, okay? You could overload it or overload the wiring and cause a fire. So take the battery out if you can, and get a charger and put a charge on it. Of course, check the levels first, and then turn the key and see what happens. Now, if you're lucky and it does start, by all means, you're going to want to put some fresh gas in it, but I don't think it's a case of having to drain what's in there. The cars are pretty good these days. Brian, you had lots of luck with yours. It fired right up, eh?
Yeah, I think the car had about half a tank of gas in it, fired it up and took it for a spin. It was thankfully in a garage, which made a huge difference.
And where's your truck been parked, outside or inside?
Outside, so I was just wondering about the rust on the brake pads.
Well, there's no question the brakes are going to – no question about the brakes. I mean, they're going to be rusty. Obviously, when you get in the car, you want to pump the pedal a few times just to see that you've got a pedal. And then at that point, once the engine is warmed up, and you've let it run for a few minutes – put it in gear and see if it'll move. It may get stuck. You didn't put the parking brake on by chance, did you?
No.
That's good, because they always get stuck on.
They sure do.
But, right. You're going to want to drive it, really carefully down at the first intersection, apply the brakes a few times, and see what happens. I mean, there's going to be a grinding noise guaranteed, okay,
yeah.
Because the surface of the drums and the rotors are going to be full of rust. And then again, as you stop it, see how it feels. It's going to be noisy. You're going to feel a bad pulsation. Take it around a block a few times. If you've seen that diminishes, increase the speed and drive it and see how it feels. I think at the end of the day, it's probably going to be best to take it to the garage. The difference being that you'll be able to drive it rather than having to tow it, and take it down there and have them do a full brake service, because, people forget, even if they're driving the car regularly, the pads do have to come apart. They have to come out of the calipers. If they're not lubricated properly, they start to wear out. In fact, you may feel it right away. You'll apply the brake and all of a sudden the wheel will just, steering wheel may twist right out of your hand because it's got a hung up pad or caliper. So, yeah, you want to get that done, and you should be able to carry on from there. And
what about the rust inhibitor? Does that draw the battery? Like, the battery seems to always go flat. If I leave this thing sitting for any length of time, the batteries just seem to die out because of the rust inhibitor, I figure.
Well, you know what? There's a lot of us that feel that the rust inhibitor really doesn't do a whole lot to begin with.
That's what I think, yeah.
Yeah, except for the LED flashing on it. I don't know that it does a whole lot. We tell people that the old rust, the spray is way better. So, Crown has been one of our sponsors for many years. I've used the product on the car myself. I think it works great.
Yeah.
Electronically, yeah, I don't see that it does a whole lot, except for make the guy who's selling it an awful lot of money. You know how much they sell those for?
I have no idea what it's
a little box. You don't know what we're talking about?
I do know what, but it's never been a consideration for me. I mean, Crown works really well.
It does. And besides the fact, in terms of your battery, there's so many things nowadays that have what they call keep alive memory. So there's always what they call a parasitic draw on that battery, which is even in a good day, they tell you that, if you're going to let the car sit for more than 2 months, even disconnect the battery. Okay.
Yeah.
Make sure you write down the PIN number for your radio so that your mechanic doesn't go crazy after.
That's right.
We can't give you that number on the telephone. A lot of new radios, GPS. It can get pretty crazy that way. You're going to disconnect the battery. Or, Brian, you had mentioned, too, you have a battery tender. Maybe you want to explain what that's about.
Yeah, it just maintains the battery while the car is sitting dormant.
Mm-hmm.
And, the battery stays fully charged. And then when you need the car again, it fires up without any issue. And they're inexpensive. I can't remember what I paid for that, but it wasn't very much.
All right, Al, thanks very much. I hope we were able to help you.
That's great information. Appreciate it.
All right, super. And then, if it's parked outside too, they've got the solar cells too, eh? Do you know if they work very well in terms of keeping the battery up?
I've never had any experience with those.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, come on, you're a journalist. You can make that up.
Yeah.
Oh, right, you're the honest guy.
Yeah, I'm the only honest guy in the business.
Jeff, I want to thank you for coming down to the show today, for taking time on the weekend. That was really nice of you.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
And people want to find out more about custom car insurance. How do they do that?
Lantinsurance.ca or 1-800-461-4099.
Excellent. And that's right. It's a great way for people to save money on car insurance. You're only driving it part of the time, so why pay full time when you can pay for half, I think, what you were saying.
Why not? Who who likes to pay half?
Exactly. And then besides the fact that, you know, you get the car appraised, and that's a great idea. And Brian, you working on anything special right now?
Well, we're working on the new race season this year. So we're racing in the Nissan Micra Cup here in Ontario and Quebec. We'll be at Mosport for Labor Day weekend and, of course, Victoria Day weekend.
Yeah, what's the So what's the first one?
Victoria Day weekend at Mosport. It's their first big weekend of the year, and there'll be, you know, tens of thousands of people there watching our little Nissans running around. Not really.
And how will they know your car or your team?
We're number 13, lucky 13.
Wow.
And,
That's pretty ballsy to go with a number like that, eh?
You know what? I've always wanted to race under number 13, and this was the championship to do it. And the car's a blast. Our partners at Guelph and Waterloo Nissan have been absolutely fantastic to work with, and the series is a blast to race in.
There you go, and I'm sure it does wonders for selling Nissans. That's for sure.
At least micros for sure.
All right, thanks for coming down. Next week we're going to have Darren Bossens in the studio, and we're going to be talking to Jimmy Matthews from LeaseBusters, and I will have another special guest. And her name is Christina, so make sure you tune in. Thank you very much, Sebastian, for doing a great job behind the board. We got to run. Keep the greasy side down and the shiny side up, I think Dave says. Drive safe, everyone. We'll see you next week.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.